Hello, welcome to the New Stack Makers, a podcast where we talk about at-scale application development, deployment, and management.
Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the New Stack Makers. Today, we are speaking with Rich Harris, the creator of the Svelte front-end JavaScript-based web development platform. Svelte is the JavaScript framework you didn't know you needed. He actually created it when he was working at the New York Times, and it has instantly found a home in the web development ecosystem. Welcome, Rich.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Terrific. Set the stage for me. You were working at the New York Times, and what was the pain point that inspired you to create Svelte?
So it was actually a little before I got started at the New York Times. And to fully tell this story, we need to go way back into the mists of time, back to when I kind of started programming, really. My background is in journalism. And about a decade ago, I was working in a newsroom at a financial publication in London. And I was very inspired by some of the interactive journalism that was being produced at places like the New York Times, but also, you know, the BBC and the Guardian and lots of other news organizations, where they were using Flash and increasingly JavaScript to tell these data-rich interactive stories that couldn't really be done any other way. And to me, this felt like the future of journalism. It's something that was using the full power of the web platform as a storytelling medium in a way that just hadn't been done before. And I was very excited about all that, and I wanted a piece of it. So I started learning JavaScript with the help of some friends who already knew how, and discovered that it's really difficult, particularly if you're doing things that have, you know, a lot of interactivity. If you're managing lots of state that can be updated in lots of different ways, you end up writing what is often referred to as spaghetti code. And that's very true on the web. It's something that we've been fighting against for many years. And so I started building a toolkit really for myself. And this was a project called Ractive, short for Interactive, something out of a Neal Stephenson book, in fact. And it actually got a little bit of traction. It was never huge, but, you know, it was my first foray into open source, and it got used in a few different places. And I maintained that for some years. And eventually I left that company and joined The Guardian in the UK. And we used Ractive to build interactive pieces of journalism there. I transferred to the US to continue at The Guardian in New York. And we used Ractive quite heavily there as well. After a while, though, it became apparent that, you know, as with many frameworks of that era, it had certain flaws. A lot of these frameworks were built for an era in which desktop computing was prevalent. And we were now in very firmly in this age of mobile first web development. And these frameworks weren't really up to the task, primarily because they were just too big. They were too big and they were too bulky and they were too slow. And so in 2016, I started work on what was essentially a successor to that project. And we chose the name Svelte because it has all the right connotations. It's lithe, it's elegant, it's, you know, sophisticated. And the idea was to basically provide the same kind of development experience that people were used to, but change the way that translated into the experience that people, that end users have when they run it in the browser. And it did this by adopting techniques from the compiler world. The code that you write doesn't need to be the code that actually runs in the browser. And so Svelte was really one of the first frameworks to lean into the compiler paradigm. And as a result, we were able to do things with much less JavaScript and in a way that was much more performant, which is very important if you're producing these kinds of interactive stories that typically involve like a lot of data, a lot of animation, things like that, that even by 2016, when we'd had this explosion in new front-end frameworks, like most of them just weren't really up to the task. And so that is the pain point that Svelte was addressing. It was partly just kind of filling a gap in the tooling sphere that had existed prior to that point. But it was also, you know, scratching my own itch and enabling me to do the work that I was doing in newsrooms.
Can you talk a bit more about the compiler aspect? How does that work with a web application or a web page?
So, you know, but browsers run JavaScript, and like nowadays they can run WASM too, but JavaScript is the language that you need to write stuff in if you want to have interactivity on on a web page. The insight that Svelte brought to the table was that that doesn't mean that you need to write JavaScript. JavaScript is a thing that runs, but if you can design a language that allows you to describe user interfaces in a more natural way, then the compiler could turn that intention into the code that actually runs. And so you get all of the benefits of declarative programming, but without the drawbacks that historically have accompanied that, because there's this trade-off that historically existed between the developer experience, because the developer wants to write this nice state-driven declarative code, and the user experience, because the user doesn't want to have to wait for this bulky JavaScript framework to load over the wire and then to do all of this extra work to translate your declarative intentions into what actually happens within the browser. And the compiler approach basically allows you to square that circle. It means that you get the best of both worlds. You're maximizing the developer experience without compromising on developer experience.
But I mean, as a developer, I'm writing JavaScript code, at least initially. I compile it at the desktop and then upload it to the website, or how does that work? Where is that in the workflow?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So pretty much every web app has a build step. It is possible to write web applications that do not involve a build step. You can just write JavaScript and you can write HTML and you can import the JavaScript into the HTML and you've got a web app. But that approach, it really doesn't scale, much as some people would try and convince you otherwise. At some point, you're going to have to have a build step so that you can use libraries that you've installed from NPM, so that you can use things like TypeScript, so that you can optimize your JavaScript because you want to minify it and all of these other things. And so Svelte fits into your existing build step. What, you know, however you're building your web app, whether you're using something like Webpack or Rollup, you can slot the Svelte compiler into that step. And so if you have your components that are written in Svelte files, it's literally a .svelte extension, then that during the build step, those components will get transformed into JavaScript files. And then they can participate in the rest of your build pipeline. So they'll get minified, they'll get bundled, and all of these other things. And so that's how the code that you write and the code that you run end up being different things.
Nice, nice. So I'm trying to put together the timeline of the history, and Svelte started to take off right around the time Angular. A lot of people were expressing frustrations around Angular. Was it a good potential replacement for Angular, and why?
So I would say it's not, at least it up until now, it hasn't been a replacement for Angular, because Angular is a full-featured framework. Like, it wants to own the entirety of your web application, whereas Svelte is really just a component framework. So on the spectrum, you know, you have things that are very focused on individual components like React and Vue and Svelte. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have frameworks like Angular and Ember. And historically, you had to do the work of taking your component framework and figuring out how to build the rest of the application, unless you were using one of these full-featured frameworks. Nowadays, that's less true, because we have things like Next.js and Remix. In the Vue world, we have Nuxt. And we on the Svelte team are currently working on SvelteKit, which is the answer to that question of like, okay, so I have my component framework, but how do I actually build an app with this? And so I would attribute the growth in popularity of Svelte to different forces. Essentially, what happened is it trundled along with a small but dedicated user base for a few years. And then in 2019, we released version 3 of the framework, which really rethought the authoring experience, the syntax that you use to write components, and the APIs that are available to you as a Svelte developer. You know, really trying to think, like, what is the ideal development experience look like? Given that we're a compiler and like we're not constrained to JavaScript, we can be a little bit more creative and we can think a little bit more holistically about what the best way to write web apps is. And so that culminated in spring of 2019 with the release of Svelte 3. And around that time, I gave a couple of conference talks around it. And that's when it really started to pick up steam and become something that I wouldn't say mainstream, but that more people in the front-end world were aware of. Now, of course, we're growing very rapidly and we're, you know, consistently at the top of developer happiness surveys. And so now, like, a lot of people are aware of us, but we're still like a very tiny framework compared to the big dogs like React and Vue.
Nice, nice. So I noticed another interview. Part of the mission was felt is to make web development fun. And you had mentioned about its developer experience. What sort of things about Svelte make it less aggravating to use than other frameworks?
I mean, I think the first thing is that you can write a lot less code if you're using Svelte. We see this time and time again, particularly in comparisons with React. If you're using Svelte, then you can express the same concepts in typically about 40% less code. There's just a lot less ceremony. There's a lot less boilerplate. And the reason for that, is that we're not constrained by JavaScript, the language. We're able to design the authoring experience. And so, for example, the way that you use state inside a component, with React, you have to use hooks. And there's this slightly idiosyncratic way of declaring a local piece of state inside the component. With Svelte, you just declare a variable. And if you assign a new value to that variable, or if it's an object and you mutate that object, then the compiler interprets that as a sign that it needs to update the component. And so in the classic example, like, you have a button, and when you click it, a count variable goes up. Whereas, you know, in React, you would have const count, comma, set count equals use state 0. And then later on inside your event handler, you would say set count, parentheses, count plus 1. In Svelte, you literally just do let count equals 0. And then later you do count plus equals 1. And so, like, that's a small example, but it's kind of representative of how we think about this problem. We're just trying to eliminate all of the friction, all of the barriers, all of the boilerplate that sometimes make programming a little bit tedious. And we do that because, as you say, we think that web development should be fun. And we want people to feel a sense of joy and delight when they're using Svelte, as opposed to thinking of it as like a necessary evil that stands between them and the thing that they're building.
Nice, nice. Now, I noticed there's some talk on the interwebs about, there's a debate around whether or not to use the virtual DOM approach that Vue and React are using virtual DOM tools like Vue and React does. What's the debate there? Virtual DOM, or a DOM being the basic way that browsers parse the HTML code.
Yeah, so there's a lot of misunderstandings about what the value of the virtual DOM is. When React first came out and popularized this notion, people mistook the virtual DOM for the valuable part. And that was never true. That was never the reason that React became so popular. The reason that React became popular was because it allowed you to write components declaratively. It basically eliminated all of the headaches of state-driven development. And the virtual DOM was just the means by which they did that. It was just the thing that made it available. So what the virtual DOM is it allows you to essentially re-render your entire application to this virtual DOM structure. And then the framework can reconcile that against the previous snapshot and figure out what needs to change in the real DOM. And because of some, you know, very clever engineering, they're able to do that fast enough that most of the time you don't really need to worry about performance when you're writing a React component. I say most of the time. There are times when you do need to worry about performance. And at that point, the virtual DOM becomes a bit of a bottleneck. And the reason for that is not just because you're creating this structure that then needs to be reconciled against an existing structure, and that reconciliation process isn't free. It's also that you're rerunning your own code a lot, like you're regenerating a lot of objects that are short-lived and need to be garbage collected. And there's like all of this, like these very, very tiny paper cuts that mount up to a problem when you have a huge amount of state being changed. You often find that you need to drop out of the virtual DOM paradigm and start like targeting the DOM directly. But that, of course, makes it difficult to use some of the other React primitives. Svelte, on the other hand, because it doesn't use a virtual DOM, because we look at your code during the compile step and we can identify ahead of time the parts of the application that are never going to change. Like we can recognize that this element is always going to be this element, but the text node inside it might change because it references a piece of state which is mutable. When a state change happens, we can just directly target the parts of the application that are likely to have changed. And that turns out to be vastly more efficient. We're essentially taking the work that would have happened in the browser and we're doing it during the build step instead. So you do it once when the application is built instead of every time the application is run. And so, you know, other frameworks have kind of agreed with this basic approach now. We have, you know, Vue, which does use a virtual DOM, also has an optimizer which tries to take as much of the virtual DOM out of the Vue component as possible. We also have new entrants like Solid, which again does away with the virtual DOM paradigm. And so I think there has been a recognition that the virtual DOM is a fantastically clever and versatile technique, but it has these limitations. And so, you know, most frameworks nowadays are experimenting with other approaches instead.
So I want to talk a bit about SaltKit. From my understanding, if I'm actually, I have an application in mind I want to build, maybe I should take initially a closer look at SaltKit over Svelte itself. What is SaltKit and how's it used for and what could it be used for?
Yeah, SaltKit is our recommendation for how to build Svelte apps. We're not yet at a stable 1.0 release. So like officially we're being a little bit careful about directing people towards it, but that is very much the intent. Yeah. Once it reaches 1.0, hopefully soon, then, you know, we're going to be describing that as the way to build Svelte apps, essentially. And it gives you all of the pieces of an application framework that are not included in a component framework. So it gives you a development server. It gives you, you know, your build optimization. It gives you code splitting. It gives you server-side rendering. It gives you ways to enact a content security policy and all of the other things that you have to think about when you're building an app, like how do I communicate with my backend? How do I, you know, use styles? How do I, there are so many questions that you have to answer as you're building an application, and SvelteKit is designed to answer all of those questions. So for people who have used frameworks like Next.js, it's essentially the Svelte version of that.
Okay, what have people been using when they're not using SvelteKit?
So SvelteKit is actually a successor to a previous attempt, which we called Sapa. We started that in 2017, and it was heavily based on Next.js of that era, in the sense that it had the same file system based routing and other techniques, but it turned out not to be versatile enough to work with the modern serverless platforms that are increasingly being used. And so a lot of people were using that, and most of them have since migrated to SvelteKit. But there are also other frameworks that have been built by the Svelte community: Rootify, Elder.js, Jungle.js, Plentico. There's a whole variety of frameworks that people have built. And you'll find people using all sorts of variations on those. And in many cases, people are just kind of rolling their own application frameworks on top of Svelte.
Terrific. So we've been covering TypeScript quite a bit. It's a particular interest in the enterprise space. Can I use TypeScript to build Svelte apps, or what's the interaction there?
You absolutely can, yes. We're big fans of TypeScript. Svelte itself is written in TypeScript. And for a couple of years now, you've been able to write TypeScript inside your Svelte components and get all of the IntelliSense, all of the type checking and auto-completion that you would get with any other piece of TypeScript. This is sometimes a little surprising to people who have experienced template-driven frameworks in the past. The fact that you can open a Svelte component inside your editor and you will get red squigglers if you use the wrong prop with a component, or if you, you know, mix and match things. But yeah, it's a very fully featured experience, and it's something that that we take very seriously, because, you know, nowadays people essentially won't use frameworks that don't have really good TypeScript support. It's become table stakes, and so as big users of TypeScript ourselves, we're like very, very keen on promoting the use of TypeScript with Svelte components.
Terrific. So you are currently a principal software engineer at Vercel. And I believe Next.js was Vercel's kind of the first foundation platform. What is Vercel's interest in Svelte? What are they using it for? How's it part of their own plans? And how does Vercel support help the Svelte community?
Well, Vercel has long been a supporter of the Svelte community through sponsorship and other things. And, you know, open source more generally, Vercel is a company that is built on top of open source. And so, you know, directly sponsoring the development of open source work by hiring open source maintainers is a very sort of natural thing for the company to do. And I'm far from the first. Like Tobias Koppers, the maintainer of Webpack, is another example, and there are several others. So it's a natural and unsurprising move. How Svelte specifically fits into the Vercel vision, you'll often hear people describe Vercel as the SDK for the web. That's the kind of aspiration for the company. It's one of the ways that we think of ourselves. And for a long time, Vercel and Next were kind of seen as two sides of the same coin. The two things are almost synonymous with each other. And Next is more of an SDK for React than an SDK for the web. And there are people who, for whatever reason, don't want to use Next or don't want to use React. And they're using Vercel, and Vercel wants, you know, to have more customers who are using alternative technologies. And so part of becoming the SDK for the web means investing in alternative frameworks. So it's not so much that Svelte and Next are competing with each other. It's more that Vercel has an interest in being seen as a home for, you know, whatever framework you're using. And so there's kind of a natural alignment there. But people sometimes ask, like, if this means that Vercel is now, like, does it own SvelteKit? And the answer is no. Svelte is still this very independent project with its own governance. But Vercel is sponsoring the project by essentially paying my salary. And also through the efforts of the developer relations team. Steph Dietz on the DevRel team at Vercel is responsible for producing a lot of Svelte educational content and helping Vercel customers who are using Svelte. So, you know, it takes many forms. The TLDR is that there's like a natural philosophical alignment between Vercel and independent open source projects, and it makes sense for me to be working on Svelte from where I am.
Terrific. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious. So we won't necessarily see like a Svelte enterprise version, which is what used to happen with a lot of open source projects when they were stewarded by large companies. It's not so much they're interested in profiting off of Svelte itself as much as building the ecosystem.
Not directly, no. There's never going to be a Svelte enterprise version. I mean, for one thing, I'm only one of a pretty large team of maintainers. And so if this would never happen, but if one day I got orders to create a Svelte enterprise version, then the rest of the maintainers would just fork it and kick me out. So our independence is as an open source project is essentially guaranteed by the fact that we have this very broad contributor base, and that, you know, we have contributors from all walks of life. And I'm the creator, I'm kind of the public face of the project, but I'm only one of many maintainers.
Nice. We talked about the developer happiness. Are there certain types of applications where I would use Svelte over React or Vue? Or conversely, are there types of applications where you would even recommend, like, yeah, maybe you should use Vue for that instead?
I'll answer the second one first. The cases where you wouldn't want to use Svelte are really cases where you're worried about being able to hire people to work on it. Cases where there are particular component libraries or other things that exist in the ecosystem that Svelte doesn't yet have an equivalent of. For example, like if you're building an e-commerce site, then there's so many options available to you if you're building on top of React or Next, then that might be the easiest way to go, because you can just like start with an existing template and you're off to the races. But in terms of technical capability, I don't think there's anything that Svelte is particularly bad at. While we don't care what frameworks people use, you know, if you want to use React or Vue or Solid or Quick or one of these other things, then it doesn't hurt our egos at all. But the way that we're building Svelte and the way that we think about it is that it is absolutely capable of meeting any web development task that you encounter. And we're building it for that. We are trying to design something with as little compromise as possible. And it's being used in a huge array of different applications. It's used in e-commerce, like IKEA's site is built in SvelteKit. It's used in dashboards. Apple uses it internally for like DataViz dashboards and things like that. I believe it's used for some of the browser Chrome inside the Brave browser. It's, you know, it's used for so many things. There's a million Wordle clones built in Svelte, obviously. and it's very heavily used in newsrooms as well. Obviously, the New York Times uses it for a lot of things. The coronavirus tracker on the New York Times is a Svelte kit app. It was, I think, the first public Svelte kit app. And they're currently in the process of rewriting their election app to use Svelte and possibly SvelteKit, I'm not sure. It's used in other newsrooms too throughout Europe and America and other parts of the world. And I think that is testament to the fact that it is a very flexible framework. You can use it for pretty much anything and it'll do the job.
Nice, nice. Let's talk about the future. Is there a timeline for the next version of Svelte? What are you guys thinking about for the new features and whatnot?
That is a million-dollar question. We talk about it a lot in the abstract. Right now, all of our efforts are focused on getting SvelteKit to a stable release. Because once that happens, we can then say to people, this is how we think that you should build Svelte apps. That is going to take pressure off the Svelte project itself a little bit. But once we've done that, which again, hopefully soon, although I'm not yet prepared to put a release date on it, we will start thinking about Svelte 4. And I don't want to make any promises about what that's going to be, but we're thinking about whether we can have even more sophisticated state management. We're thinking about whether we can simplify the process of using motion and transitions in your user interfaces. We're thinking about whether we can redesign the compiler a little bit so that the code that it generates is actually smaller than the code that you wrote in the first place. There's a lot of things, a lot of ideas that we're batting around, and it remains to be seen which of them are going to make the cut when we actually have to implement some of this stuff. But we'll certainly be starting work on Svelte 4 this year. Whether we'll finish it this year remains to be seen.
Are you considering a regular release cadence at this point, or is that still a ways off?
We release patch versions constantly. Mm-hmm. We've never made any attempt to regularize that because it's so dependent, you know, how much time we have available to work on the project and what issues people are finding. You know, if someone finds a serious bug, then we try and fix it that day. But other things might take weeks. And so we've never seen that much value in regularizing it beyond just, you know, ensuring that we're not holding feature development up to try and combine features into a single release. It's always been a when it's done. And part of the reason for that is that, as I say, this is a project with many maintainers, most of whom, in fact, all of whom, apart from me, do not work on Svelte full time. So it is to a certain extent driven by just the availability of people's free time.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. This has been a great conversation, Rich. Thank you so much for getting us up to speed. Like I said, we're still learning this kind of field, and Svelte seems to hold an immense amount of promise for the future of web development. Thanks for taking time to talk on our show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And thank you, listeners of the New Stack Makers podcast, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the New Stack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to the newstack.io.